the best coaches in the game. We really ain't playing. We regroup up in the Slack chat where the coaches debrief. We be piecing these puzzles, occupy the chunk of the pie. Ain't no lie when we hit the block, helmets casket is top. You be seeing helmet after helmet, helmet after helmet. First place, second place, fifth place, eighth place, 12th place, 15, 16, 20. So many helmets, you got blurred vision. We got.
What's up, everyone? Welcome back to another Bulk Hall Fantasy Football Podcast. My name is Kevin Allen, a.k.a. The Geek. And as always, I've got the Encyclopedia Footballica himself with us today, Alan Sizlowski, to break down everything we need to know about fantasy football news this season. And here's a topic for today, because everything we need to know. We're going to take a look at some players we don't like at current ADP, players to avoid. And we're also taking a look at some, I'm going to say, groundbreaking, mind-altering news of the day in fantasy football around Aaron Rodgers, around Deshaun Watson, around Michael Thomas, Cam Akers. We're going to look at all these situations and see how they're affecting our fantasy football approach for the season. What's up, my man says?
Everything's good, man. It just seems like that these breaking news items are going to start coming like a fire hose now, fast and furious, right?
I wake up every morning and I got a call from Sizlowski like, oh my God, did you see the Akers news? I'm like, what news? And now it's, oh my God, did you see the Michael Thomas news? What happened to Michael Thomas? So things are happening fast and furious.
Is my connection good?
Yeah, it's not great.
Okay, cool. Because I realize I'm on the two internet settings, and I'm on the one that I usually don't want to be on. So I'm wondering if you do go sour, let me know, and I'll just switch internet settings. Okay,
you're all good.
All right,
and that was a window into the back end dealings.
Well,
of
we're
the
live streaming. We could be casual. Right,
yeah. All right. So let's get right into it, because the big news of this morning is Michael Thomas out for the first 6 to 8 weeks of the season. What's the news says?
Okay, so Michael Thomas, as you know, last season was just suffering through an ankle injury, right? I mean, he was back in the lineup. He wasn't. It was just basically a lost season. So they didn't really address it, but he did have a cleanup procedure in June, and that was, I guess, kept under wraps because today it was announced that cleanup procedure is going to keep him out for a minimum of 4 months. So let's do the math. That's all of August, all of September, all of October, all of November. So the soonest you're going to see him back would be December. So I would say we're going to cross Michael Thomas off our list, because let's say you draft Michael Thomas. Unless you have an IR spot, you can't really hold him, right? In a typical redraft league where you have like six bench spots, you're not holding this guy. And then when he comes back, you're not just going to throw him in the lineup. He needs a game or two to get tuned up. He is absolutely off your draft list for 2021.
Lost. I mean, this is
another lost season.
It's groundbreaking. This is essentially a lost season.
Like, another
if this
one.
News is fully accurate, and we're talking 4 more months from now, it's a lost season for Michael Thomas. We have to
what
wrap
round would
react.
You draft him in? Like, would you draft him in redraft? Let's say, like, okay, you and I just signed up for the NFFC Beat Chris List League, right? So we're going to be drafting in a high stakes league where it pays $200,000 plus, right? It's a 10-person bench. What round are you drafting Michael Thomas in?
No round.
Exactly. No. That's my point. So you're scratching him off.
To get into this a little further and why it's a no round situation, it's something you say that I always totally agree with. It's not just that he might be back, all right, last week of November. It's that when he comes back, they ease him back in. Or even worse, the team is so out of it at that point because they haven't had Michael Thomas all year. That Saints team really lacks weapons outside of Michael Thomas. You know, Alvin Kamara's there, but no other players of note really on that offense, and no real player of note helming the offense to the point where the team could really be out of it by then. And then are they going to rush him back? What are they going to do? So you're right. Even he comes back, it doesn't look that great. So I would even say in a scenario like this, it's not even like, you know, at some point week 7, 8, 9, people are going to be bidding for him on FOB. That's more the way to play it.
Yes.
You know, and you slap him on your bench, but I wouldn't want to pay too much, because he's a guy that while he could be galloping high for your actual NFL playoff games, like your fantasy playoffs, it might be that he's looking good by that point. Maybe it'll be a good acquisition, but you also have that scenario where they're giving him limited snaps.
We're not going to worry about, don't worry about like what we're going to be doing in week 7 or 8. I think you hit the key part. This is off your radar until like a month before we could start thinking about it, depending on your team context. Yeah. Do you have an extra roster spot? But plain and simple. So now, okay. So now we know the obvious. We're crossing him off the list. We're not drafting Michael Thomas. Is there anyone that gets a boost or a decline in value for our drafts? Like, how do we treat the rest of the Saints in our drafts coming up in the next few weeks?
You
start with
hear
the obvious. Alvin Kamara. Okay, you had something to say. Go ahead.
I have a bold call on this that this will affect. But before I get to, actually, let's go into these players, and then I'll give you my boldest call of this whole thing. So I think the players...
Start with Alvin Kamara then. Like, he's going at ADP 4.
Does not change for me at all. I don't think that affects what will happen with Kamara, other than, you know, he's still going to do what he's going to do, which is be heavily involved in this offense. Like, that, it doesn't change it. I think I have more concern, or I'm not going to say concern, but I think it helps names like Tre'Quan Smith, Callaway, even Adam Troutman.
Yeah, now that's
all net positives, because, you know, you have to look at Michael Thomas as 140 target guy. So those targets will go somewhere.
You and I talked about this before, and again, I mean, probably for like your normal 12-team, 16-round redraft, this doesn't make a difference, but I think there's definitely, I'm smelling a little Ty Montgomery last round, maybe, because he was a wide receiver. He's on the roster. He's been playing running back for a couple of years now, but remember, he was a wide receiver on Green Bay before he was running back. So
I'm not even sure that I could take Ty Montgomery with the last pick in like a best ball league that has like 22. Like, he's really towards the end of it, because that level of speculation is pretty intense.
Do you want to hear the best available free agents in the wide receiver market right now? Like the unsigned guys that have a pulse?
Sure. Yeah.
I'm going to give you about five names, okay? Alshon Jeffrey. And give me a one-word instant reaction to each. Alshon Jeffrey.
No.
Golden Tate.
Garbage.
Kenny Stills.
Absolutely not.
Calling Larry Fitzgerald out of retirement.
I'm not going to say anything bad about Larry Fitzgerald ever.
Dez Bryant.
Yeah, no.
Marquise Lee.
No. I mean,
I got three more. Dede Westbrook.
I mean, yeah. No.
Okay. Danny Amendola.
Again, these guys, no.
Right. I mean,
those guys are free agents for a reason. Not one of those players should have a job.
Still, I like Stills. Stills was already on the team at one point. He knows the system. He can come right in and play that role. So I think if the Saints were going to sign a street free agent, Kenny Stills is the guy. He played in Sean Payton's system.
He could come. Does he make a difference? No, he's a WR4 on a team with no wide receivers. Like, he wouldn't even pass, you know, the guys they have now. So it's just unfortunate for them. But let me give you my bold call based off of this. I believe that this situation, fewer people to throw to, increases the likelihood that it's Taysom Hill and not Jameis Winston that gets the starting nod in New Orleans. Okay, like, if you're looking at this offense, there's such a lack of weapons at the wide receiver position, at the pass catcher position. Why not go with the guy who uses his legs as a weapon? I mean, it makes sense. I know Sean Payton favors the guy. And I think if we had to just give a little nudge.
Geek, you want the Vegas odds as of right now?
Yeah.
Okay, Winston's a minus 200 and Taysom Hill is a plus 145 to start week one.
Okay. I mean, you know, it's close odds. I think the consensus has been that it'll
That's
be
not
Jameis
that close.
Winston.
That's not that close.
That implied probabilities, if you translate those implied probabilities, it's in the 65-35 range.
Right. Right. Okay. So I see what you're saying. It's not, but that's my point. It's not that close. You know what I'm saying? Like,
as a gambler, 35-65 is close. Like, that's close for
it. Hold on. Yeah. How many gamblers, you know, win at a 65% clip?
No, that's not it.
Well, no, okay.
What you teach yourself as a gambler is how much of a chance a 35% chance really is. Like, right. That's a good chance of something happening.
But let's translate that into a point spread. If a team has a 65% chance of winning, they're a 6.5 point favorite.
That's how the point spread works.
No, but that is how it would translate to this. I know it's not like 65 is 6.5, but it's around a 6 to 6.5 point. It's basically less than a touchdown, but it's way more than a field goal, a 65% chance. It's so
no,
good.
I'd love to have some money lines. Wait, you know what? I can do that. Hang on a second. You've got me curious.
Yeah, no, it's an interesting thought exercise.
I'm going to crack open some week one.
Look up what a plus 145 or a minus 200, how that translates to point spreads.
Hang on, I'll get you numbers right now. Okay, yeah. You ready for the here we go. Money line. Okay, a 6-point spread would be +290 +230 -290.
Then it's less. So that's probably 4.5 points.
Yeah, here it is. Jets
-200.
Panthers -220 +180 translates to a 4.5-point spread, which is a close game.
Okay, so it's about that, because that's also taking in some team bias right there. So we're going to call it about a 4 to 4.5-point spread. Yeah. Right? Not a lock, but a significant.
What I'm suggesting is that this injury probably nudges, necessarily on the odds, but in the real-life probability factor, nudges a little bit the idea that Taysom Hill might get this starting nod. That's what I'm saying. Like this news, that's my reaction. I don't think the odds would reflect that just yet.
Yeah, no, these odds do not reflect that.
No. I mean, it just happened. No one even thought this through. But like, this is a nice little opportunity, is what I'm saying, to smash that bet on Taysom Hill. Because I'd probably put these odds at this point more, even if I want to lean a little bit more Hill than Winston, or at worst, closer to 50-50. I think it's been this weird consensus that Jameis Winston would get this job, even though, given the opportunity last season, Sean Payton went with Taysom Hill. So I still don't understand.
Tell me the logic about this, behind though.
Why people think that.
So here's the problem, by the way. So let's say Jameis Winston's the starter, right? Let's say he's the under center week one, takes the snaps. There's still going to be a Taysom Hill package, right?
Of course.
Right. But the other way around, the way that you're saying, like if Taysom Hill is the starter, there's not going to be a Winston package.
I think it's going to be Taysom Hill. I really do.
I think it's really going to be a QB by committee. But here's the other thing also, that there is going to be a very low tolerance for mistakes. Let's say either one of these guys has a 3-turnover half. Expect to see the other guy with the start of the other half.
I'm sure that will be the case. All right. So let's look at some other affected situations, though.
Wait, do you want to talk about eight? Oh, with the Saints?
With the Saints, though, because I want to. Are we moving? I would say Trey Quizzles, the chef. Traquan, the chef.
He's definitely the next man up, right?
Like, is he now somebody that I should be actively looking to? I mean, he goes very late in drafts. Let me tell you.
He won't anymore. He'll go in the ninth round now. He was going like the 14th. He'll move up to the late single digits. Like, he'll be taken right around where like Hollywood Brown and those guys are taken. So I expect him to go in like the late eighth, maybe late eighth to early 10th is where I predict his.
You know where he's going right now?
Like at the end of the draft. He's like your last pick or like the 14th round.
Your last pick. I mean, he's right there. Not quite. He's there. He's on the level in the ADP zone with Terrace Marshall, Jacoby Myers, Paris Campbell, and Nelson Agholor. That group, right? Like New England wide receivers, who actually might be undervalued a little bit. Manny Sanders, old. John Brown.
Yeah, I mean, but it's where it's going. It's not where he is now. It's where it's going. Like
the next draft
that goes, he's going to be going in the 9th, 10th round, and I could see someone taking him at the end of the 8th, just trying to make a hero pick. You know, I get it. In the 9th round, if he's the next wide receiver and he was already like a buzzy player, the one who's going to see the most helium is probably Adam Trautman. He was already the buzziest tight end player. He was one of the buzzy players, the hot not free agents, but the breakout candidates across all the fantasy podcasts and streams. So I could see him moving up to like tight end 8, tight end 9 in ADP. Like right after Dallas Goedert and Higbee, like right around there.
That would be a very a hearty move up for him. So he's already looking pretty good, but yeah, that'd be a nice little move up for him. So on that same note now, all right, we've covered the Saints, this big news, Michael Thomas out, it seems like to us, lost season. They lied to us. Cleanup procedure, what the fuck is up with that? Cleanup procedure, man. There's no way a cleanup procedure takes you out for 4 months. But we still have yet to find out. Maybe they're talking 4 months from when he got the procedure. Let's get a little more detail on that one if we can. So next up, we've got the Aaron Rodgers sort of situation evolving. And says, you have a pretty bold take on Aaron. I don't know if it's bold, actually, but it's just we have a strong take on Aaron Rodgers. So says, what do you think is going to happen with Rodgers? Is he going to play for the Packers?
It's interesting because the team claims they offered him this 2-year extension, which he turned down. And I told you, and obviously he turned it down because that's their, you know, they put that out there. Who knows what was really in there, what kind of guarantees. I told you, the way to get this done, if you're the Packers, there's two ways to get it done. One, which they're not going to do, is fire the GM that he doesn't like. It's not happening, right? I mean, very low probability of happening. The other thing they could do is offer him a four-year extension fully guaranteed, making him the highest paid player in NFL history, and trading Jordan Love. What are you gonna get for Jordan Love? It doesn't matter. Okay. The reason they drafted Jordan Love is because they thought Aaron Rodgers was on the decline. Right. Aaron Rodgers had an MVP season last year. Quarterbacks are playing well into their 40s right now. He's 39. The 4 years would take him to 43. And if you can trade Jordan Love for a third round pick, or just say you swap him for like a Teddy Bridgewater, an Andy Dalton type of quarterback, someone who presents no threat behind Aaron Rodgers, that gets it done. Hey, Aaron, we're going to make you the highest paid player. You're going to retire a Packer at age 43, or keep going if you want. Here's the guaranteed money, $44 million a year. Jordan Love's off the roster tomorrow. Please come back.
Would that be a wise move for the front office of the Packers to give a 39-year-old quarterback a four-year guaranteed deal at the highest paid salary in existence? What if he does fall off a cliff next season?
Yeah, I mean, there was no sign of that. I mean, he wasn't really good last year. He was the MVP of the league. He did it already, right? I mean, it wasn't like he showed them already that even if there is a decline, there should be. Like, he's already proved that he's MVP. And listen, the other option is just let him sit out. But their Packers are in the win now window. They're probably a 12-win plus team, 13-win team. Without him, they're lucky to be a 500 team. So they have to make that decision. I mean, I think the gamble is worse the other way of betting against him.
What are the odds for Rodgers starting for the Packers?
I just had it a second ago here. Didn't we just talk about it a second?
I believe it's like minus 250, but
it was a little better than that here. I got it right here. I just voiced it up. And for the Packers, week one starter, minus 220, Broncos plus 175. And then the odds go up from there. So minus 220.
Minus 220. I mean, similar odds with Jameis, about 65% implied probability. 70%.
Is it possible he sits two games, you know, just like lets them lose? Hopefully, you know, for him, his perspective, they go 0-2, 1-2, sits 3 weeks, and then comes back and is the hero. Is that another strategy?
I don't know if you're the hero at that point. I think you're the villain. So it's really hard to see that happening. I kind of think so. My take is like Rodgers doesn't really have a choice. He's got to play for the team. They have him by the balls. There's nothing he can really
do. I disagree. I think it's the other way around. I think he has the team by the balls.
He has them in a sense, but they have him too. Like he's contracted to play here. You don't think, right?
But what's it called? It's star quarterbacks in the NFL are the only NFL players with leverage. Everyone else, you're right. Like Le'Veon Bell, Melvin Gordon, when they said they didn't have the leverage, though you can argue Le'Veon Bell did win. He got his contract anyway, saved a year of wear and tear on his body, but he didn't have the leverage.
That didn't
star,
help, though.
Star quarterbacks, you know, the top five or six quarterbacks in the league have similar leverage to those of NBA players. Now, James Harden signs a four-year guaranteed contract, still forces him his way out of Houston, right? When you are one of the top five players that matter in the NFL – or in any sport, you have the leverage. Those contracts almost don't mean anything.
Listen, it's all fair. It's all fair. So what do you think happens with Rodgers? What actually will happen? And for drafting purposes, for our fantasy football purposes, what would be the effect and how should we play it?
I predict Rodgers will be there week one, and the Packers will eventually come to the decision that some frame of what I said, where Jordan Love will not be on the roster. There will be a non-threatening backup QB behind Rodgers, and he will be the highest paid player with a four-year guaranteed contract. I would handicap that situation at about 70%, 30%. He misses a couple games, but 100% he will play for the Packers this year. Davante Adams, I'm not taking him in the first round, the back end of the first round. I would take him in the late second round. Aaron Jones, I'm still drafting as I normally would on the 1-2 turn. I don't even think if Jordan loves the QB that affects Aaron Jones too much.
All right. I mean, that's
Rodgers QB 10. QB 9.
I definitely do think that Jordan Love at quarterback would horribly affect Aaron Jones. And as a matter of fact, I would be so bold as to say Aaron Jones would be a utter disaster with Jordan Love at the helm. because they're just not going to score. We talk about this all the time. You need, if I'm going to distribute touchdowns to my running back position, I need to be scoring touchdowns. If my running back is getting 25% of the touchdowns for the team, and Aaron Rodgers is at the helm, and the team's scoring four touchdowns a game, great. That gives Aaron Jones's odds of scoring one, 25% chance. That's one per game. If the team's only scoring two touchdowns, it cuts in half the opportunities that someone like Aaron Jones would get. And I actually think with Jordan Love at the helm, that would actually favor A.J. Dillon, the other running back, where they're going to need to smash it in. You know, they won't be able to throw for touchdowns near the goal line. They'll need to do a little bit more of that big back stuff. So I think it would be a disaster for Aaron Jones. But on the flip side is, if Aaron Rodgers plays, then Davante Adams is by far and away the number one wide receiver in this draft. And it's not even close between him and number two. So for that reason, you're getting, if you want to gamble that Aaron Rodgers comes back for week one, you know, what you do is you get Davante Adams at the beginning of that second round and you laugh all the way to the bank, because he really should be going like, I think he'll fall overall.
Yeah, I think he'll fall in these drafts. Like if we drafted today, I think you'd get him at like pick 23.
And if you're, then you stole him and you win your league that way. So that is a way to win your league, right? If Davante Adams is hanging around late in that second round and you are able to snatch him up, you literally just got an extra first round, high first round pick on your team. So that would be the way to stack your team in such a way that you win your league. I would be all over that move, and I'd be willing to risk it
with
at the 60 to 65% odds.
So wait a second, wait on that. Just use that same logic, apply it to Aaron Jones. Right now he's going like pick 17, the middle of the second round. If Rodgers said he's coming back, where do you think, where would you draft him? Like pick 6, 7, 8, something like that?
Yeah, he becomes like a top 10. I don't love Aaron Jones as a running back in general. That volume just has never been good enough. He's very touchdown reliant, and I'm a little nervous about him. So towards the end of the first round, I usually don't wind up with Aaron Jones to be. Right. To be
you always personal. Like someone else better. I gotcha.
Yeah, he's never the guy that I get.
All right, so you want to talk a little Cam Akers? That's what the people seem to want here.
Well, we've got Cam Akers, and of course, we still have to talk about Deshaun Watson. Cam Akers' situation, though, let's get into it, right? Gone for the season, very unfortunate, Achilles tendon.
I was not drafting Cam Akers even before he's healthy. I wasn't a believer. I mean, I'm sure he was going to be fine, but it wasn't his ADP, which was like pick 10 overall. The same way you just described Aaron Jones, I mean, I could see it. I saw the case, but he's not someone I wanted in the first round. So
I'm going to give you a Sezlowski theory about this. Mm. This is a signature Sezlowski theorem. Okay. It's the theory of don't lose your draft in the first round. Okay. I have seen many a TikTok featuring a very bald, bearded Sezlowski talking about this. And in the end of the day, it's very true. Cam Akers is the perfect example. Had a nice 7 or 8 game run at the end of last year. Had a really, really talented guy right behind him that has similar draft capital, and had a pretty good 2-game run last season in Henderson. So there was always a little bit of risk with Akers that he doesn't secure the role. Like, he doesn't look as good. Somebody else overtakes him. It becomes committee. He doesn't have that role. He didn't have, even before this injury, that role on full stone cold lead pipe lockdown, right? He's not Dalvin Cook. He's not these other first round running backs that have the role, Jonathan Taylor on lockdown. This is a guy who, you know, anything can happen this year. CJ Spiller, year one, comes back, year two, sucks. Somebody else takes over.
That's a good example.
I love my CJ Spiller references. So, nonetheless, that's now off the table. I only have one share of Cam Akers in a best ball, and I had regrets about it the minute I did it. Not for that reason, but because I took him ahead of Antonio Gibson, who I always liked more.
Well, you know what?
I still regret it.
You know what it is? It's like, even though you and I are off Cam Akers, when you're doing multiple best balls, you're doing dozens of them. I always think it's good to take a couple shares of guys you don't believe in. Like, I think I'm a player that's way down the rankings. Just someone I always pass over is someone like Christian Kirk. The last couple best balls, I took a few Christian Kirks just in case. You know, what if I'm wrong? What if I'm wrong?
Yeah, yeah, that's right.
And you're talking about like round nine. You know what I'm saying? Like, I literally always avoided him. I just, you know, so same thing with Cam Akers.
I'd still be avoiding that motherfucker.
Yeah, but. Totally. But like, can you say for sure who the number one wide receiver of outside of Hopkins is going to be on average? I don't want to get too down this road.
No, let's not get. Yeah, let's
like,
not get.
You know what I'm saying? Like, somebody is going to be valuable.
AJ Green. But
right,
yes.
Exactly. Rondell Moore, rookie, you know. So anyway, it's the whole point of like ambiguous depth charts, backfields. Like, it's a whole nother topic.
Sure. So without getting too deep into that, you know, let's go back to this example. So coming back to the Akers thing, Darrell had, so everybody right now is scrambling to say, who are the Rams going to pick up? Who are they going to get to replace this guy? And what my thought is, and listen, this isn't some bold call. I'm higher on Darrell Henderson, I think, than most people were. I actually have a lot of shares of him as a backup. Because when he was given the opportunity to start last season, it says, he was electric. This was a high third round draft pick. This was a guy that we really liked going into his first season. And then we really, coming out of that first season, we were all like, oh, okay, let's go. It's Henderson season. And then they drafted Akers and everybody's like, what the fuck? What's this? So, you know, now it was these two guys that were competing. But Henderson looked great when he was given the opportunity. The negative with Henderson was, after a couple of games with a heavy workload, he got himself hurt. That's how Akers kind of took the role and ran with it. It was due to an injury to Henderson
Henderson's, you know, right around 200, 205. I've seen him, you know, weighed in as high as 208 in some of the sites, but that's not feature back size. Usually, you know, Alvin Kamara is kind of the baseline for me of feature back size. He's 215 pounds. It's more about your BMI than it is about your pure weight.
Not super different though. That's not right. Like, that's not the Austin Eckler 198, you know, puts some shoes on to 200 get
200 and 198. That's pretty similar, but I just don't think you can draft, Darrell Henderson in best ball in large field contests, because so many of these entries have already gone off. I mean, thousands of entries, tens of thousands, and they all have Darrell Henderson in the 11th round. So if you're doing a new best ball, you cannot take Darrell Henderson in the fourth round or wherever he's going right now, because you know, you're really competing for that overall prize and your competitors already have him in the 11th round. So just forget it. If you're just doing like a contained 12 team league, then it's fine. You could draft him where you would value.
Let's explain what you just said, guys. So
do you agree with that though?
Yeah. I mean, okay. It's a really, I think you got to take him wherever you got to take him, but it's a really interesting strategic point that you just made that I actually wanted. Let me expand on it, 'cause it's a really sharp point.
Go.
So what Cez is saying here is like, if you're in the big tournament, in the big best ball tournament, and you're going up against thousands of people, many of which have already drafted, and you start taking early picks on Darrell Henderson, that team that you've now constructed is going to compete with a team that has that same player, but in the 11th round. And that's enough of a disadvantage that, you know, like in a tournament setting, it really isn't great. And it's also not like you're getting Darrell Henderson in a bargain anymore. Darrell Henderson's ADP has literally shot up beyond where it should be at the moment. Like, I've heard stories of him going in the second round. I think he's going to settle in where he belongs, which is probably in the fourth round on best ball. And, you know, in season long, a few rounds later than that, what we're called in a certain zone, I would say maybe just after, I always forget player names.
What you're saying, where you should take?
Yeah, here we go. Maybe just after like the Josh Jacobs pick, or maybe just before like a Mike Davis type player.
RB 22 to RB 25 is where you should go.
Yeah, that's fair. So it's that zone. I'm going to say ahead of like the ATNs, ahead of Mike Davis, but right there with your Josh Jacobs and Miles Sanders types. All right, let me throw this at you, says Lowski. You're on the board. You're on the clock, right? And you've got to make a decision between Miles Sanders or Darrell Henderson. Which way do you go?
Miles Sanders.
You're going with Sanders. Okay. Yeah. Josh Jacobs on the board. You're on the clock.
Yeah, I'm not a Darrell Henderson believer as far as him, you know, being more than like a, you know, just a one cut go guy. He's capable. It's one of these players like you just gave the perfect example of like Mike Davis, who could do it for a few games, but it's just not built to last. That's why they'll probably bring in another back, unless Xavier Jones, the seventh round or the undrafted, was he seventh round undrafted from last year, proves well. Because I like Daryl Henderson, but I just have no faith that he could hold up over the course of a season with 20 touches. So if they're going to give him 13, 14 touches a game and have him be a nice complimentary piece, he fits right into that. You know, Jacob's workload is more or less guaranteed. So he's
Done catch passes, though. And Darrell Henderson did catch passes when he played a couple games for.
The funny thing is, Jacobs did catch passes in college. It's
I don't ever want to hear about that. They do not throw to this dude.
Yeah, no, they haven't.
Not going to throw to him. They have no intention. Every time somebody gets hurt, you know, you've got a pass catching running back being brought into the team constantly. They were. Is John Gruden like.
No, he's
Jeff
not
Fisher?
Good.
Is he Jeff Fisher? Are they the same guy?
Because he has won a Super Bowl.
That's, you know, Barry Switzer ran a Super Bowl, won a Super Bowl too. I don't want him coaching my team. Like, is this Jeff Fisher part two? Is what I'm asking you. Is it that?
By the way, I would push ETN up over all those guys because ETN's like the type of player that can win you a league. You know, I'm not saying he will, but you could see it, right? Like, put it this way. Okay, I heard if James Robinson if he suffered the same fate as Cam Akers, where's Travis Etienne going in the next draft? He's going first round, right?
I mean, first round,
right? So
if they traded, all right, you want a world shaker? If they traded James Robinson, which isn't out of the realm of shit that could happen, if they traded Robinson to the Rams, Etienne would now be middle of the first round,
right? And again, there would be a case to take him at pick three overall.
That's what I'm saying. Middle. I didn't say end of the first round.
Right.
I'm talking.
Well, that's my point.
That would be world changing.
Right. So that said, you're talking about what the upside is, the plausible upside. So that's why you got to take ETN higher than all of those guys.
Let me throw one more if then or this guy or that guy at you. Miles Gaskin.
See, that's a good one.
Or Darrell Henderson.
So
keeping in mind, and let me for the listeners. And guys, for those of you guys watching the show, listening, drop a comment where you would slot Darrell Henderson right now in your rankings of the RB position. Are you taking him ahead of
what round or whatever?
Javonte Williams, Mike Davis. Maybe you like him ahead of J.K. Dobbins. Maybe you like him ahead of Chris Carson. Where do you put Darrell Henderson on your list? Now, Miles Gaskin is also really small. He is about the Darrell Henderson size.
Yeah.
Durability questions? Yes. Right? Yes. We do have serious durability. I think that's why Miles Gaskin, who looked better than any of these clowns last season, is where he is on your draft board because people don't think he can hold up. Henderson or Miles Gaskin for you?
Yeah, it's still Gaskin because he already showed he could, even though he got dinged up, But it's close.
You are down on Henderson. You are not excited about this guy.
I mean, not right. But that's the inflection point. I told you, it's like I have Gaskin with RB20 in our rankings, and I have Henderson right around like 22. So either or, I could see the case for both. You know, the better offense, better QB, better situation. If we're sitting here the day before the draft and the Rams have done nothing, it's really the downside is that they're bringing in somebody that could limit the upside of Darrell Henderson. If I knew that wasn't the case, then yes.
Okay.
The upside case is there. I already know what the situation's going to be with Gaskin, hence why I have him ranked higher.
All right. So now I'm going to paint a new scenario because now we really want to lay some context to this. It's August 30th. You're drafting. No one has been brought in. It's basically Darrell Henderson or some old, you know, decrepit player is brought in, like a Devonta Freeman type. Oof. or somebody who we really don't think is a threat, right? You know,
Le'Veon Bell, Todd Gurley.
I don't know. Le'Veon Bell could be a threat.
How about if Sony Michel is cut and they bring in Sony Michel?
Yeah, like a Sony Michel or something like that. Basically replacing the Brown role that
Hoyce
that
Freeman.
Or like a Hoyce Freeman. Basically like another a plotter is brought in just to be the guy to absorb, you know, the 2 yard.
Okay, so now where am I at?
So now it's August 30th. We're drafting. Now going back to that same question before, now we know for sure. This is the guy, right? The other guy does not look like it. It's a Frank Gore is brought in out of, you know, retirement. We know that's not the guy. He's just there to absorb some pain. So Darrell Henderson's going to get the passing work. He's going to get the exciting work. He's going to get the fantasy point scoring work on a team which we all agree has potential to be one of the more explosive offenses in the National Football League this season. We all love the Rams. If you don't love the Rams, I don't know what's wrong with you. Matt Stafford, great defense, great offensive players, great offensive mind as a head coach. Everything about the Rams says, yes, please, you're going to score lots of points. So with all of that being said, where at that point do you slot a Darrell Henderson, knowing he's the guy?
I don't think. Okay, so here's a good example of how I would treat them. Similar to Chase Edmonds and James Conner. So right now I'm drafting Chase Edmonds in like the 5-6 turn, like the fifth round if I need him. I usually don't draft running backs in that range. That's where I'm looking for my dual threat quarterback or my tight end. But you know, ADP wise, I probably would treat Henderson similar to that. And the person that they brought in, I would treat similar to Connor. I would make Connor like a 7th, 8th round pick, Chase Edmonds more of a 5th, 6th round pick. So obviously, I'm not going to get them in any.
You will get no Darrell, nothing. You will have no exposure.
Yeah, I'm not
Darrell Henderson.
Not at this point, no.
All right. So just to be clear, I like Darrell Henderson a little bit more than you.
Yeah.
I would say a lot more than you. I think he has potential. I liked what I saw from the guy last season. I thought in the games that he started for the team, he looked like a real. He looked the part.
You're not going to get him either because he's going back to back with David Montgomery. He's going, you know, right around Joe Mixon. He's going, like you said, he's going ahead of Jacobs and Sanders and all those guys.
Ahead of that whole group as well. But like I'm taking Montgomery.
Right. Exactly. It's not even close. So that's what I'm saying. Right now, if you're in a draft, you are not getting it. You can like him all you want. You're just not going to get him at his cost. And that's what the subject of this stream is. It's players we don't like.
Yeah.
At ADP,
I might take Henderson ahead of Josh Jacobs and Miles Sanders.
Well, then you might get him.
Yeah, like that's my zone.
Then you might get him.
I don't know about Sanders, but Jacobs just gives me the meh willies.
Do you think that this will have an uptick, a positive effect for the Rams passing game? So maybe instead when they had Akers, they were going to run, you know, not Akers was going to run 38 times a game or 35 times a game. But do you think that maybe this means 6 or 8 more attempts a game for Stafford?
You know, I don't know. I don't really think so. I guess you could say that if you don't think they, if, especially if Darrell Henderson wears down and then they don't have any sort of a dominant running game at all on the team, then yeah, you have to expect that if they're going to score a touchdown, he's going to have to throw for it. And, you know, that would be a positive for those pass catchers, I would say. It's never bad to have a team that needs to throw the football all the time.
Dude, by the way, I don't know why this feeling crept into me, but I just got so, like, fantasy football angry about Michael Thomas. And I know it's been like 35 minutes since we talked about it. I don't have a lot of Michael Thomas, but on two important dynasty leagues, including the Madden league that we're in, which is like, you know, it's a $300 entry one. He was my first overall pick in the startup last year and pick 5. And I sat, you know, and I was like, ugh, it's so aggravating. You know,
it's unfortunate. I really think that either.
I don't want to go back to it. It's just, you know, just
yeah, it's just, it's rough, man. It's, you know, I feel you, man. I don't have any exposure, so I'm kind of happy. I don't have any Michael Thomas. Not one share, not one best ball, nothing. Luckily, because I do a lot of my best ball drafting on Underdog, promo code DFS Army gets you a $25 free match to get in the big tournament over there if you sign
up.
At Underdog.
Do you see now they're doing the big dog tournament? It's a high stakes best ball tournament.
No.
So they have the Best Ball Mania, which is $25 entry with $1 million prize. Then they did the Puppy Bowl, which is
a $250 entry. Yeah.
Yes. So now they're doing a best ball that's high stakes that has, you know, an overall prize to it too.
You know why I don't have Michael Thomas exposure in these? Because it's half point PPR and I just don't tend to favor Michael Thomas in half point PPR leagues.
Yep.
So I'm always like, oh, Keenan Allen's there. Let me get him instead.
Well, he's a PPR guy too.
He is, but I just think his volume expectation is so much higher that it doesn't matter. Like Keenan Allen was WR3 when he was healthy last season overall. So I think Keenan Allen's like that guy that's the most undervalued guy. Isn't it funny? Last year I was saying Keenan Allen is the worst pick in the draft. And this year I think he's the most undervalued player at wide receiver. Yeah,
especially with Herbert there, right?
Well, that's what I'm saying. Like last season it was Tyrod Taylor. But nonetheless, let's continue on this theme. I don't want to get too far off topic of this theme of, you know, new situations and players. So do we have any more of these? Or did we cover every like significant news item? Oh, no. There's one more.
Oh, yeah, I know where you're going.
And this could be a game changer, guys. This could be the big... I should have led with this one. So the rumor has it. Rumor has it. Says, you tell us the rumor, bro. Deshaun Watson, where's he going? What's the rumor?
I mean, there was a beat writer, Philadelphia beat writer, that said that his opinion, based on conversations he has, is that Deshaun Watson has a, you know, he called it a 90% chance of getting traded to the Eagles. And again, it's just his opinion. But, you know, he's putting it out there. He's saying it with confidence, and I could see it. I mean, they have the ammunition to the draft picks to make it happen. I mean, obviously, Jalen Hurts would almost certainly be part of any trade, but I think that they would have to pony up. My guess is Jalen Hurts, they have two first-round picks next year, a second and a third. That would get it done.
Oh, it makes so much sense. It makes so much sense.
Would you give up that? Yeah, would you give up that much?
Absolutely. Hurts? Without thinking twice.
Right, because Hurts is worth a first at this point, right?
Hurts is exactly being used for what he should be used for.
Right.
Think about your dynasty team right now, right? Think about that.
I don't think this affects
you like Hurts, but you don't know if he's even...
I think this helps Hurts' value because obviously the uncertainty if he was going to be the starter in 22 for the Eagles was I don't know if I should draft him in the second, third round in super flex leagues. But now if Houston's proactively trading for him, he's the starter.
Or if he just is on Houston, period. And Houston gave up, it wouldn't be giving up first round, but if he's on Houston, he's just got a better chance of locking down a longer term starting gig. But yes. I mean, the world, it changes everything for both teams, because at that point, you're Nico Collins, all these clowns that are like on Twitter right now, the fantasy football Twitter, talking about how much they love Brandon Cooks, will be redeemed for that stupid take that they have, that horrible take that they have, because they'll have a real quarterback on the team now. Like when I hear somebody say, oh, I love Brandon Cooks in redraft, I'm like, yeah, it's because you suck at fantasy football. And
I like Brandon Cooks.
I hear it all the time. Like,
but he's going in the ninth round. I mean, why wouldn't you like him, right?
Because fuck that guy. Why would I want any wide receiver in a Tyrod Taylor regime? The guy that's what I'm saying. Like, come on. Come on. You think you're going to start Brandon Cooks under Tyrod Taylor because he's going to help your team win a game? No, he won't. No. But if Jalen Hurts goes over there, now all of a sudden they have kind of like a real quarterback. And now that Brandon Cooks late pick actually looks good. And it redeems all these people who are 100% wrong about, quote unquote, liking this guy under Tyrod Taylor because they didn't know about the trade. If that was their reason for liking him, I would have respected it. But with that being said, Deshaun Watson to the Eagles, what does that do for, oh my God, I mean, like Jalen Reagor, Devonta, you know, maybe
the tight ends.
I mean, Goddard, Ertz also. What if it resurrects JJ Arcega Whiteside?
Oh, like, yes.
Come on. No, that won't happen.
Yeah. Oh, yes. Well, that would make me very happy.
You'd need the ghost of you need Dan Marino to come out of retirement to resuscitate JJ Arcega Whiteside.
Yeah, well, I also think that he might be traded in this deal. Like, you know,
that's not. No one wants that. No,
I disagree.
That's like offering me a trade with all your bench turds and fans. No, I don't want it. It actually turns me off. I would never say yes to that, Jarrett. Why is this guy in your trade? It ruins it for me. Well, get out of here. I don't want.
If he's an ad, it was a throw-in add-on. If I were the Texans, I would just be saying anyone that's got a pulse, I'd be taking off.
No, the Texans don't want the Eagles bench turds. But again, you don't need that. All you need is Hurts in there. Two first round picks. Get the deal done.
Second and a third.
Whatever. The Eagles turn into an immediate, because right now I don't see them as, I'm not going to say a contender. I definitely don't see them anywhere near.
They're not even a playoff team.
Yeah, like they're unlikely to make the playoffs. That's right. They look like the worst team.
Think about that division. They got Dallas and Washington in that division.
I would say it's between the Eagles and the Giants for the worst team in the division. And like as it's currently construed, I might put the Eagles as the worst above the below the Giants with Hurts. It's arguable. Actually, no, I'm not even going that far. The Giants are definitely the worst. in the NFCs, but the Eagles would be second.
I mean, it's just basically ranking the quarterbacks.
Well, how do you rank these teams? Because I have Washington number one overall.
In that division?
Yeah.
Yeah, I can't argue. I mean, I probably, if I was betting, I would pick Dallas, but the Vegas odds do have Washington as the slight favorite, I think.
Okay, yeah, you gotta, I gotta respect that defense and the improvement at quarterback for the Washington football team. You know, I say the old name a lot, and then I get somebody wanted to cancel me, bro. Uh-oh. This is live. Like sometimes I forget. Anyway, so Deshaun Watson news. If Deshaun Watson goes to the Eagles, says Lowski.
Here it is right here. Dallas is actually a slight favorite. I had that wrong. Dallas is a plus 125. Washington football team is plus 260.
Dude, I would bet that. I would smash that bet right now.
Yeah, tell plus 260 is a good one.
What book is that on?
I just looked up on Sports Betting Dime. So they're just, you know, it's just an odd site. I don't, you'd have to go to
okay,
the
so I will look that up. We're doing, actually, Statsational and I, John Alessia and I, are going to be doing an NFL futures podcast next week where we talk about bets we really love for this upcoming futures bets.
Yeah, I got to switch connections. Really love. Bad, by the way, I'm switching my connection. So if I pop off, I'll be okay. Right back on.
So anyway, actually, so spoiler alert for those of you guys watching. Yes, next week we will be doing an NFL futures podcast where we talk about bets we really like. Futures bets on the NFL for this season, things like who wins the NFC East, you know, which teams will go to the playoffs, which teams we think have a shot at the Super Bowl, all things like that, you know, win totals, lots of different bets. And I will have one of the sharpest betting minds in.
You got me. Am I back on?
Yeah. Yeah. And so I'm saying we will have one of the sharpest betting minds in the sports gambling industry, John Alessia, on there to break this down with me and give me his takes on NFL futures. All right. So what does this do? The Deshaun Watson to the Eagles. Like, where does Jalen Reagor go? Where does Smith go? Where does Goddard go? Does it move them up? And how dramatically does that happen, Sislowski?
Yeah, I mean, if Deshaun Watson goes there, all those guys are probably would get like a 15-pick bump. So Devonta Smith would be a fourth-round pick. Rager would probably go from like the 12th round to like the 7th, 8th round maybe. Goddard probably goes right ahead of Mark Andrews, right above Hockenson. He probably is tight end 4. So I think that's about it. Miles Sanders would get a boost. I think he becomes an instant second-round pick. I mean, you know, that all the whether it has this, the saying go, a rising tide lifts all boats.
It would be a game changer.
It would be for both teams, right? I mean, we would like that. You talked about Nico Collins, Brandon Cooks. It's just adding another superstar player. And you're talking about like from a super flex perspective or even a single QB where Watson is going, obviously in the 14th round is just a dart throw, grab him. I mean, he goes back to being like QB5 or somewhere around there. So
I love it. Now, let me get into the query because this trade makes so much sense. So the naysayer might be like, well, what are the negatives? What are the risks for both teams? I want to get a little deeper into this one, right?
Yeah.
And the primary risk for the Eagles, what's their concern is like, oh shit, you know, he's got this legal situation floating overhead. And I want to give my take on this.
Yeah. Doesn't matter though. I'll let you go first.
Well, it does matter because if he's going to quote, get suspended this year, that's what the Eagles are concerned with. If he's going to get suspended this season, the Eagles don't want to throw away a season.
Why not?
They wouldn't have a quarterback.
Doesn't matter. Why does it matter? Are they going to win a Super Bowl this year?
No, but if they get rid of Hurts and they bring in Watson and Watson can't play this year, they throw away the season.
Okay.
They have no quarterback.
All right. But it's, you know, it's all in the interest of, I mean, the price will never be cheap.
Teams don't operate that way. They're not, this isn't a dynasty team that tanks a year. Like they're not going to throw away a season for this type of a trade.
All right, so give your take on it. My take is this.
And this is my take on the Deshaun Watson legal situation in general. I have read these reports. And I've read the witness testimony from one of the women in the whole massage situation. And my absolute take on this is this man, while creepy and while definitely a pervert, did not do anything illegal to where there would ever be legal charges pressed for what he did. And I'm going to explain why. So Deshaun Watson, listen, he has a fetish about his masseuse giving him a rub and tug, right? That's like he, that turns him on. That's his thing. According to, allegedly, that's his thing. So it's not like, he was doing something forceful. He would get a normal masseuse to come in. Then my man flip over, you know, next thing you know, he's got the tent formed under the blanket. And he's like, you know, kind of like giving the old, you know, can you take care of this too? And sometimes they would be like, all right, I'll do it. You know, like they felt a little pressure as a famous guy. Other times they're like, nah, well, that's a little creepy. Like, why is your stranzone, why is it flying free? The flag is waving, brother. You know what I'm saying? Like, some would be like, no. But every one of them felt uncomfortable because it's an uncomfortable and pervy thing to do. But it's not, he didn't break a law. He didn't forcibly do anything. He didn't grab somebody. He didn't use physical force. He probably didn't even coerce, other than like you felt a little bit of pressure. It was like an awkwardness, like, you know, you want this to happen. And the reason I say this and why it's so stupid is because if you're Deshaun Watson, if you're, and you're in Houston, right? Like, all I need to do, like, this isn't about just getting women. This guy should be able to snap his finger and have a lineup of fans being like, can I please give you a blowjob? You know, like, if he went to a club and went, snapped his fingers and pointed down, me, you know, like, people would just, women would just run up and raise their hand, me. That's all he needs to do. So he would never need to forcibly do anything to anybody. I don't believe that he did that here. I read the reports. He just was creepy and pervy, and he definitely deserves to be seen as creepy and pervy for what he did. But it's not illegal. Let him get sued. If they win, great. But no one's going to press legal charges for what I read, unless there's other things happening that I don't know anything about or that I didn't read. I read some of these reports, and there was just nothing illegal that went on. It's just creepy. It's inappropriate, but it's not illegal.
To borrow a term from that Chris List said on the radio yesterday, it was like, I don't do trial by podcast or trial by Twitter, or I don't claim to know anything about this, or even, you know, so I don't think you can say any of those things that you know this or you know that, or this is true. I just think that it's like, no, we know no matter what happens, if there was anything legal, illegal, and we don't know anything. So it's foolish for us to like make any inferences that there's likely to be an NFL suspension, right? I mean, and you could either assume that suspension is going to be year long, half year long, or none. That's it. And then you'd have to handicap those percentages based on what you know, because the NFL has shown that they could give a suspension even if there's no legal violation. They can call it code of conduct violation. So, you know, handicapped as such.
I would say this, though, again, I want to caveat what I just said before by, I read a report from one of these or a couple of these women that was in a major article, and they specified like the situation, how they told the story of what went down. And in that story itself, that, again, that's not to say any of the other accusers don't have a different experience, but from the ones that I've read, and again, I'm just working off of what's publicly available, I didn't read anything that could be construed as criminal. It's just creepy. And it's not criminal. So if I extrapolate that across this whole thing, I would say unlikely to have any criminal charges. And then you're talking about different levels of suspension, like more of like a 2-game, if they wanted to do like a code of conduct, more of like a 2 or 4 game type situation, not a lost season scenario. If criminal charges got filed, but I think this is the concern of the Eagles, is why I'm bringing this up. Why are they, if this trade is like imminent, that's the big consideration for the Eagles. Like, well, what happens if this thing blows up a little bit larger? It's probably why they're taking their time to wait and see if any new things come out. But the flip side is, training camp's about to start, and if you're gonna have a quarterback, a new quarterback for your team, you want him there as soon as possible, because it's just not a position where you can get up to speed normally in a very short period of time. So this could be an imminent thing, and I think that one concern of how much time will he lose is the big deal, especially if you're trading away Hurts in any sort of a deal for Watson.
All right. Well, that seems like a good place to wrap, man. We did an hour. Let's, you know, then, and we'll pick it up next week.
Absolutely, guys. Listen, as you said, let us know in the comments where you would take Darrell Henderson.
Or Deshaun Watson.
Or I don't know, man. Even the thought of taking Deshaun. Do you think Deshaun Watson goes to the Eagles? Do you think he's guilty? I mean, I don't know. Do you think he goes to the Eagles? Do you think he plays this year? Drop a comment. We'll be back next week with another Bold Call Fantasy Football Podcast. Take care, everyone.
Bye-bye.